Welcome back to RBKD, 6 o'clock hour, last hour of the show. My man John celebrating his birthday today, so he's just doing whatever the hell he wants. That is the theme, the musical theme of the show. So you can always hit him up, whether you want to complain or whether you want to compliment him. He's at JS Reich in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. Whatever tongue-lashing or compliment you're going to give John, just wish him a happy birthday first, because today is the man's birthday. We're getting to some NFL recap here, some college football discussion as we get ready for the Monday Night Football matchup night. Should be a good one between the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, and actually some football weather. And it looks like it's going to be windy. It's going to be snowing. So I think my man Belichick actually will be all about that. Got the hoodie. That's what the hoodie is perfect for, that kind of weather. All right, so we'll get to that here in just a second. Heisman finalists, I believe, have been announced.
They have, yeah.
Heisman finalists have been thrown out there. You let me know if I got them wrong. I'm getting them from memory. It's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Aiden Hutchinson, and Kenny Pickett.
There you go.
Who you been? I would say early on this year, you were like, man, keep an eye on Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's playing really well for Pitt, and turns out Kenny Pickett played well enough to make himself a Heisman finalist.
And
you just said he's going to be a first-round pick.
Or too. Could be, yeah.
Could be, but could he's be. Being projected like that
no,
right now.
Kenny, just because it's a Kenny Pickett did more for his stock this year than almost anyone else.
Anybody else?
Because Kenny Pickett's been around for a long time.
He has been around for a while.
And
I know, I'm with you on that.
Just got, I guess it got better and better. I would love to see Aiden Hutchinson win this thing, but I think Mr. Bryce Young with the 421 he put
it.
Up
yeah,
won it on Saturday.
I totally agree with you. And it would have been a great year for a defender to win it, because if Bryce Young, honestly, if Georgia had won that game, Aiden Hutchinson would have a really good shot at it.
Yeah.
But because Bryce Young won that game, I'm with you. I think now they're going to be looking at Bryce Young's stats and pretty much just comparing his stats, because everybody knows he's the front runner now, to Kenny Pickett, to C.J. Stroud.
Right.
And that'll just automatically relegate the defender to the back burner of the conversation.
Yeah,
just
and the media, majority of the media that vote for this are dumbasses. And
well, they don't watch the games.
Well, yeah.
And I'll admit, even I don't watch as much college football as you do. I watch Big 12 football. I'm a regional guy.
I think you watch more than a lot of the voters do, though.
I do, but I watch. I like to focus my football watching energy. So it's mostly Texas, then Big 12, and then I'll watch some of the bigger. And I get interested in some teams. Like, honestly, I got interested in Pitt too, because I started watching Pitt. Not only because you start talking about Kenny Pickett, but when Sark started making his coaching hires, if anybody remember, I had a rant. One of my Rod's rant was a suggestion for him to hire a coach, Brennan Marion, who was the innovator of the go-go offense.
Oh, yeah,
who was
yeah,
those
yeah.
Two
that was
backs.
One of my favorite Rod's rant.
And turns out, you know who hired him?
Pitt.
Wow. As a wide receivers coach.
I didn't know that. Very interesting.
Yeah, he's the one different name on the Pitt offensive staff this season. And a lot of people are saying that Kenny Pickett, who kind of went from, I don't know, Clark Kent to Superman in one season, that a lot of the benefits are from some of the concepts that Brennan Marion brought in.
He went
in.
From Lois Lane to Superman. And
yeah, there you go. And they also have a really good receiver there, too, and he's doing a good job with the receivers. But he brought in some of the concepts from his go-go offense. I still think Sark should try to bring him in, because he's a fast riser. He doesn't want to be there long. He wants to move up. He's one of those guys.
Young is now listed at minus 4,000 odds at Caesars Sportsbook to win the Heisman.
He's going
to
win.
Hutchinson is next at 20-1. Stroud and Pickett are each 30-1.
Wow. Man. Yeah. Nah, it's done. I mean, that game against Georgia, that big upset, that just pretty much sealed the deal for him.
That was it. And give Young a lot of credit, man. He had reportedly made over $1 million before he had really done anything. And that's my biggest question with the NIL is Texas has had a problem keeping these guys focused on the right stuff when they're not getting that.
Very true.
So it's only going to add to it, Rod, to try and really get their focus on what it needs to be as you are earning money.
You know, I've heard some Longhorn fans say Texas always gets the wrong 3-4 stars and 5 stars, the wrong blue chips
for years. And I think a lot of it is Austin
and
attracts those 4 and 5 stars to come here.
Yeah.
Going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and dealing with Nick Saban is akin to going to business school.
I was going
to
say, it's like,
or law school.
It's like going to get your doctorate
right.
in medical school.
It's going to suck.
Or law school.
It's going to set me up for life.
But you know what it is. It's about you.
But these 3 years are going to suck.
Yeah. That you know you're going there, specific purpose to be trained by the best.
Right.
To be the best.
Yep. And get your balls busted.
Yeah. Because you know that that is at that trial by fire is going to turn you into one of the best at your in your profession. So I agree with you. So I think that's a cultural issue. So yes, you will be getting access to the top talent in the country because Texas should be the name, image, and likeness capital of college football. Yes, they should be in that conversation, and it's going to allow you to get in better, better talent. But I will say this, the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams, size Cardi B size butt is, I mean, you have been getting in talent. Let's not act like you haven't been able to recruit.
You haven't developed it.
The problem is you haven't been able to develop it, and you ain't been able to keep it on campus. So that's a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, going to get more talent. Great. But you were getting talent before, so I'd act like we were bereft of talent here.
Right. And if we have
no access to talent.
If we have an offensive line that's looked like the offensive lines for the most part the last 10 years, and those kids are each making $150,000, that's criminal.
Well, that's what's going to happen, KD.
Right.
Because courtesy of our good friends at Horns with Heart, this is a fantastic initiative, by the way, aside from our jokes
everyone
about the
offensive
line.
Everyone wins on this one.
It is one of those rare occasions where it's a win-win. It is. And we'll get back to the college football stuff here and some NFL news notes and nuggets. But this is an important story for Longhorn fans out there. Horns with Heart, they have started their own name, image, and likeness initiative. It's founded with the goal of using name, image, and likeness of the University of Texas student-athletes to help promote charities and charitable causes. And they've secured an $800,000 launch of what they call the Pancake Factory Initiative, which is going to provide each offensive lineman upwards of $50,000 a year as essentially their name, image, and likeness fee. But with this name, image, and likeness salary, fee, whatever you want to call it, for the offensive lineman, they'll be allowed to use their name, image, and likeness to support and promote charitable causes that they are passionate about in their own hometown and the ones here at University of Texas.
Yeah, and I think that this, I certainly don't know as much about this as some people in the industry, but what is a 501c, right, which will allow them to make this charitable and also get the Texas players paid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. You need to have really smart lawyers and legal minds who can talk to compliance and work their way around the new legislation. All right, and find whatever you want to call it, the loopholes, whether you want to find ways to circumvent the legislation, whatever it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and then they came up with these. And
the charity wins. So.
Yeah, exactly. And the Clarkfield Collective is also, I think you got to have a think tank together and you got to have some nice legal minds so that Texas is totally in compliance with the NCAA rules and, of course, the state laws regarding name, image, and likeness. But I'm sure they are because if Texas was smart, and I know they are, and so is A&M, they probably had representatives representing their compliance department and their program at the legislative creation.
They had a hand. Both did.
So basically now with the Clarkfield Collective, KD, and this Horns with Heart the Pancake Factory Initiative, if you're an offensive lineman and you signed the University of Texas, you could potentially be making annually upwards of $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Just from those two initiatives of NIL.
Which, if they're good players, I'm all for. I'm all for free market.
But they're going to make it anyway.
I know they're going to make it anyway.
They're making it anyway. It's just flat fee for being a Texas O-lineman.
That's what I'm saying.
They're going to make it.
So hopefully this will bring in better linemen, right?
Exactly, right? You're going to bring in better linemen, but they still got to be coached up and developed.
They do.
But
I think they got their guy, Kyle Flood.
You'll bring in better options, I guess. You're bringing better raw materials to work with. That does not account for bringing in the wrong 4 and 5 stars, the ones who are focused on South by Southwest and ACL and the Graham over how they perform on the field.
Or their music career.
Or their music career, or their fashion
career.
Or whatever it is, right? And it also doesn't account for talent development, and it doesn't account for the culture. But you fix all those things, and hell yeah. I mean, you're bringing in better talent. That's always – and this is a new landscape you're competing in anyway. You just can't afford to fall behind. This is what everybody's going to be doing at one point.
You have to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Paul, we did EGAT today. That'll be up at the top of the hour if you guys want to check that. check that out. And we got into this, obviously, and he brought up a pretty good example. He said, it's kind of like the nuclear arms race. Like, ideally, I'm sure there are countries that say we don't want to have to do this. We wouldn't want to do this if we could, but we have to do it, right?
Yeah. The difference is
the
court of public opinion all want this.
Right.
Right. Everybody's like, no, you want this.
That's the difference. I get it. Yeah. But I'm sure there are some schools that are like, I'd be better off if we didn't have to deal with this. Well, you have to.
No, to your point, the arms race, every constituency of every nation wants protection, so they want their government.
Right.
To have the weapons, but they still want the other government. I don't trust those other governments.
Right.
What they're going to do with nuclear. But my government is responsible.
Yeah.
We'll handle it.
So the question is, in the college football world, who's North Korea?
Who may blow this whole damn thing up?
Who's Putin?
You know what? I don't know who that's going to be in the Navy just like this era.
Putin.
That's a great point. Who's gonna wreck this whole damn thing and decide, you know what, even with them giving us all these different freedoms to compensate the players, I'm going to take it even further.
Yeah. Oh, I've said, look, we've talked about it. We've talked about how there's still illegal weed in Colorado and California.
Yeah.
Even though they got dispensaries on every corner.
Yeah.
There's always going to be stuff under the table. But hopefully what this will do is, I mean, this is a legal way to load up bags.
It is, but I mean, it is legislation, so there technically are legal ramifications and consequences to violating these state laws.
Yeah, you're right.
This is not NCAA rules anymore. These are state laws.
But
remember, the NCAA decided, we don't want to mess with this. Uncle Sam, please save us. So if you report somebody to a state legislature that they are violating a state law, I haven't read the law, so I'm assuming there are consequences.
Right. So what you do is you don't break the laws with NIL. You just continue to break the laws like you have been for 40 years if you're in the SEC.
Don't break the NIL rule, break the NCAA rule.
Yeah.
But what if the NIL rule also addresses the NCAA's rule?
Okay. Well, then,
to your point,
then your state legislator wrote it wrong.
Exactly. To your point, then you screwed up when you wrote the law.
Right, exactly.
You should have allowed for that type of, you know.
No, there's still going to be
freedom. Cheating.
It's going to be the old school cheating. Don't cheat on this, though. Like, make sure you follow the rules
on this.
Yeah.
But, hey, go see, we got another bag man around the corner if you want to get the tax free.
Right.
And that's why Uncle Sam is the one coming after you. If you violate these laws, these name, image, and likeness laws, these state laws, you're probably going to be doing it by giving some money under the table that's unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's Uncle Sam's going to come down on you.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam's coming. He's like, no. What? You gave him 50 G's and you didn't give me my piece?
Right.
Oh, I'm going to need that back.
No.
That's what's coming.
Sammy will come.
Sammy.
Yeah. As I've always said, I'm sick of Uncle Sam. Can we try an Aunt Samantha? Or something like that.
Well done.
Give me something. Give me some change there.
Well done. All right. Well, so what are your thoughts about? Okay. Can we get into this real quick? So we're talking about NFL news, notes, and nuggets. Kansas City. Yeah, we got to talk about Kansas City.
Defense, baby.
Defense, baby, is right.
Oh, Okafor almost had that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I forget Okafor starting on that defensive line.
Yeah.
Shout out there. But Kansas City, slowly but surely, have been fixing the defense.
They have.
And that's why the rest of the NFL needs to be concerned. I'll give you a stat here. It is a mind-blowing stat. Weeks 1 through 5, the Kansas City Chiefs had the most points allowed of any team in the NFL, 163.
So, and I go by points, so they had the worst defense in the NFL.
They had the worst defense in the league, if you're just looking at points allowed. Since week 6, they've allowed the fewest points in the NFL.
So they went
since
from
week 6.
32-1.
Just since week 6, yes. So they've turned
home. And
the
only guy they added would have been what, Ingram?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what. At the corners have been playing better, too.
I've talked about Willie Happy because they've been playing younger linebackers.
Oh, they're still playing.
So Willie Gay's playing.
Sorensen.
Who's that safety kind of?
They benched him, but then now they're playing him more.
Now he's back. He had a pick 6.
Okay. So maybe they're just playing better in that system. I mean, that's a hell of a turnaround. So you got to give some credit to the coaching staff there. But to me, that's the biggest issue. And they're still throwing picks. I mean, I should say Mahomes is still throwing picks. He's still turning the ball over.
He didn't have a touchdown pass, but he had a pick.
He threw his 12th interception of the season. According to Pro Football Focus, how about this? 5 of his 12 interceptions have come off drop passes, the most of any quarterback.
Oh, my God. And they had
And 3 by Tariq Hill.
Pr- Pringle had two in a drive.
Yeah.
And Tyreek had a couple, too.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, just as I'm watching, I'm just thinking, you guys got to hold on to the football. How about this? So they talked about this last night, illustrated this, made me think of you with a lot of the good numbers you bring out in Rod's rant throughout the show. That against cover two, and we've talked about that, how there's a lot more cover two, and don't blitz them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That's what the numbers would show you going up against Mahomes. His quarterback rating is 40 points lower against cover two compared to cover one. Or, sorry, single high,
too high
and too high.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, because essentially what teams are doing, they take away the deep ball, so he's not patient enough, which he's been more patient lately.
He's been better.
But look at his stat line.
Yeah.
Right? That's what patient will get you if you're Patrick Mahomes, and he's frustrated with that. He hates that because he was seen as the next great all-time quarterback, and he hates games where he's basically relegated to being a guy that just manages the game.
Yeah,
he's a game manager,
right?
And he hates that.
Or checking into a run because they got.
That's exactly
if
right.
If the safeties are giving you that look, Rod,
yeah.
The numbers would tell you give the ball to Allaire.
Run, yeah, or check down.
He sees
that as the defeat. Like a defeatist status, to like, oh man, we're already beaten. And I think they're having to program him and say, no, take what the defense is giving you. And that's a new thing for Patrick Mahomes. So, and sometimes teams are playing a little bump and run on the outside with him too, which does two things. Two deep safeties with physical corners. You take away the short game with the physical corners, take away the deep ball with the deep safeties, and then force them to throw intermediate routes.
Mm-hmm.
Force them to throw to the middle of the field, which is usually the tougher throws. So they're playing a lot of mind games with Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't like it. He does not like it at all.
No, he obviously wants to be throwing for 350. But yep. I think you're right. He's actually maturing as we're noticing all this.
He's figuring it out. It's like, yeah, this is the NFL. This is not a video game.
No, I'm not going to tear it up.
And he did his first couple of years, but I think now it's just like a regression to the mean.
I'm not playing Kansas and Lubbock.
Come on now. Yeah, exactly. Mahomes.
What else from the NFL stood out to you?
I thought one of the... one of the interesting games was also, I mean, seeing the Bucs get back on, I mean, that was the Falcons they played, but I think the Bucs now kind of proving themselves. And, of course, the Cardinals, man, the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins being back and now Kyler Murray being back, I mean, they're the team to beat. How can they not be?
No, they are. You're right.
I was
watching them on Red Zone yesterday. Good win for the Chargers, too.
That shocked me the way they won that game because they were up big.
They were up.
The Bengals came back.
They did.
Made it within one score.
Burrow had an injured finger, too.
Oh, was that it? Okay.
Yeah, and it was really messing with them. But, yeah, Bengals came back. Then Joe Mixon put one on the turf, and they took it for six. So it was actually pretty good weekend for the NFL. How about the Lions? I've been rooting for the Lions.
Hey.
A lot of it has to do with what that area is going through with the school shooting.
That was. That's an amazing story. I believe in the post game, Dan Campbell said we did it for the Oxford community.
So good for Dan Campbell and them. Did you see the Vikings defense, though, on that last play?
No.
Dude.
Oh, you're talking about in the red zone?
Yes.
Yes, where they basically played
off. What are you giving up?
And gave everything.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know what that was. That was
Even Jared Goff can hit that.
I don't know what that was. That was inexplicable.
I wanted to pick your brain on that.
Somebody
is there something I'm missing about secondary play?
No, I don't know what you're doing there. Make them throw, you're defending the deep ball?
Jeez,
the
red, right.
You're in the end zone.
This is the last play.
I don't know what was going on, brother. I don't know. That was weird.
It's like 5 yards back in the end zone and just giving that up.
Maybe they wanted Detroit to score. I don't know. Maybe they also wanted the Lions to celebrate. That was weird.
That makes no sense.
And Washington.
At all.
Tyler Heinicke.
You know what?
Come on now.
I got to give you some love,
He's got
dude.
Some grit, man.
I got to give you some love. So Washington beat the Raiders 17-15. That's going to set it up next week. Washington now 6-6. Eagles 6-7. They got to win. So Cowboys
Minshew mania.
I know. Did you see him and his dad after?
That was pretty cool.
Post game.
I like Minshew though.
No, I do too.
I'm
do
a Minshew
too.
Fan.
And that is what I expected his dad to like the back and forth to be like.
Yeah, because they're basically
there's
they're
some WWE
it's
in that.
That's a great description of it. Yeah, they're basically locker room. There was some locker room fodder there.
My Niners are officially done too.
Oh, how'd you lose to the Seahawks? This is like the worst they've been since Russell Wilson's been there.
I know. Niners got shut out in the second half. Man, I hope your boy is not.
I hope he survives
on the hot seat.
I don't think because
I don't want to lose that brain.
I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my. I don't want him to be depressed. Essentially,
right. And obviously, he's so good. He's gonna have a job as a coordinator or a head coach.
Head coach, I don't know if he'd get a job as a head coach immediately. I think.
Oh, maybe not immediately.
Yeah,
but
I think
he's still young.
He would deem that as a failure.
Yeah.
He would deem that as a failure.
Had a lot of injuries.
I know him long enough to know he'd deem that as a failure.
They need to look at strength and conditioning and what they're doing in the offseason.
Yep.
Because they've got, I know it's the NFL. I get that. But the Niners, if you look at their numbers, like they drop like flies.
They do. Yep. Even in the last decade, it's been like that.
It's been too much.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back to kind of recap the weekend, including Venables to OU. Was this a good move? Welcome back. RBKD here. I like this vibe here, John. Happy birthday to John Reichel. John is picking his own music. That is a birthday gift that Rod and I gave John because we didn't know it was his birthday, so we didn't bring in anything. Bringing you like a 12-pack on Friday.
I can do that. I'm down.
Well, I appreciate anything. Yeah, this is the best gift I could give myself, so I went for it.
What is this here?
This is Summer and Lightning by the band ELO, Electric Light Orchestra.
Okay.
Most known for doing the song Don't Bring Me Down, which I did earlier the show.
I like that song.
It's one of my favorite bands.
I'll have to check out ELO. I've heard Chad talk about him before, so not that that threw it off for me, but
Chad's lost some street cred.
Yeah, they lost all street cred. Are they headbangers? So it is John's birthday today. We've got so much stuff to hit. We're going to hit a bunch of stuff tomorrow. We are going to get back into Brent Venables to OU. Obviously, that's huge around these parts. How good of a hire is that? Who are they going to hire as an OC? That was my biggest question. Can you replace Biedenbo, the offensive lineman?
Yep.
And then obviously Lincoln Riley, the OC. But there's so much stuff going on, Rod, that I mentioned this during the break.
Oh, man.
And
I did not know this at all.
Which is crazy because I'm a huge fan of this guy, but I think maybe number one on the list.
I love this guy.
Is of Joe Brady's fan club is Rod Babers.
Man.
Joe Brady was fired.
Fired?
Yeah.
I cannot believe that. I saw the press conference clippings of Matt Rhule talking about Joe Brady. I guess I didn't realize what it was in regards to. I thought he just had a bad game calling plays. I didn't realize he had actually fired him. And in a year where basically you had Christian McCaffrey placed on IR, they had three different quarterback start games for him?
Yeah. And
his first season. Second season, three different starting quarterbacks. And
well, it's not like they had Christian McCaffrey Bridgewater last year, so.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, that seems a bit premature, but I would say you did say that Matt Rhule might be under some pressure. I didn't think he'd be under pressure in his second year to be making changes this abruptly, but obviously he is.
I don't agree with the pressure, but I was just reading enough stuff that Matt Rhule, I saw him on a couple coaching hot seats, and
so
I thought,
what? Football related. He said it was purely football related. He said nothing about tension. He said Joe Brady's awesome. He's great.
Great guy.
He said I basically Matt Rhule said I made the wrong hire.
Yeah, but he says he doesn't regret it, which is weird.
That is weird.
You know,
you made the wrong hire, then there's
got to be some regret. I understand you can't go back to that time. Let me give you a couple things that maybe explain it. So the Panthers are 5-7. They had only a combined 39 rushes the past two games combined, including 18 in the loss to the Dolphins before the bye week. Rhule said after the loss to the Vikings, he wanted 30 to 33 rushes per game. So he wants a little bit more of a physical run game, and Brady wants to air it out.
So after the loss to the Vikings, before the loss to the Dolphins, he told them what he wanted.
And he didn't get it.
Well, then that's insubordination.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your boss coming to you and saying, hey,
this is what I want.
I want this next time you come into the meeting. This, this, and this. Done. He closed the door. And next meeting, you don't show up with the this, this, and this that the boss asked for.
Right.
Well, okay. Well, then you don't respect me as your boss, so you might need to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Well, it also, you can run, and if you don't run or you're not effective rushing the football, that's when you can come back and say, hey, boss, you wanted me to do this.
Yeah. So... Exactly, and if it's RPO...
There's a reason probably you're seeing why I wasn't running the ball that much.
Yeah, and if it's RPO-based and it's dictated by the defensive look, that also...
That's the quarterback.
It should be communicated. Yeah, so I'm with you, though. Now that I know this, that Joe Brady is on the open market, whoa.
You're Sark?
Sark's got to call the plays. That's why he was brought here. I don't know if it's in his contract, but I think it's understood that he has to call the plays.
And Brady's going to be calling plays wherever he goes.
And Joe Brady's
going
to be calling plays where he's going. So Sark can't do it. Now, later on, Sark may realize.
Please don't tell me this guy ends up in Norman. Jesus.
He could. If Brent Venables is smart, he makes that call. I know
Brent Venables is smart.
He better make that call.
I'm not saying he's
going
to be a great head coach, but he's not an idiot.
But if I'm Joe Brady, I don't want to go to Oklahoma that's losing all of their talent.
No.
It's a mass exodus there, so he's not going there because I think he's
like, about all the options. Cristobal. So you were reading that.
The reports are that Miami and Cristobal have already reached out to Joe Brady. There's mutual interest. And it's like, yeah, hell yeah, Miami. Of course Joe Brady wants
no
to live
joke.
In Miami.
Right.
And is Derek King coming back?
I don't think it matters because Tyler Van Dyke, Dick's grandson.
Oh, is he the starting quarterback there now?
He's not Dick's grandson, so don't look that up.
Is he the
but
guy
he's, yeah, he was the guy who really took off this year.
Okay.
And he's young, and he looked good. That's when Miami kind of started to keep this together. That's all. Also, I'll give Manny Diaz credit. When I was saying in week two or three, this guy's going to be fired, he almost proved me wrong because he got that chip back together a little bit. It just wasn't enough, and they were obviously able to go get Cristobal.
Yeah,
so.
They thought they upgraded, but
Van Dyke's the future for them.
Okay,
he's a good quarterback too.
All right, in that case, then maybe I think Joe Brady's going to look at the situation before he goes somewhere.
Do we have someone?
And hell, man, Clemson. I think some places might want to upgrade.
Right. Well, Clemson fans were not happy with Tony Elliott.
I know.
I can tell
they
you
might want to upgrade. I'd be scared if he ends up with Brian Kelly at LSU, back at LSU. That should be scary.
Brian Kelly should reach out.
Brian Kelly should definitely reach out.
So Brian couldn't hit on any of the Notre Dame guys he wanted to bring down. And then he fired their strength coach. He's been around for...
Moffitt?
Yeah. Like
yeah, I know.
For ages.
Forever.
He took a lot of crap for that.
And, I mean, Moffitt's been successful.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not like he had been pumping out NFL players.
Yeah.
So I don't. I mean, he's got to have
they
somebody.
They look the part.
I think he was worried about insubordination. I think he's worried about a guy that's been there so long, so entrenched, that he's got more influence than me. And that if he says, man, that's stupid, I wouldn't do that. The last coach who did this, and, you know, that was dumb. I mean, he's been there with multiple national championship winning coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of respect there. Strength and conditioning coaches, they control the culture. We always talk about that. And it may not be anything personal against Moffitt, but I'm bringing in a new culture. I'm trying to implement a new culture. And you right now probably have more street cred here than I do with these players and with everybody here.
He tried to bring down the Notre Dame strength coach, and he said no. So maybe that was already it, that he was already showing he was trying to replace him.
Could be that, too. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because I would think that would be an easy keep, to just keep the best strength coach or one of the best strength coaches in the SEC there.
Now, if you're Joe Brady, you go back to college, right?
I do.
And I'm not sure how many NFL teams would actually want him.
Should Sark call Moffitt? Strength and conditioning.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know. It's a great idea.
Is it an upgrade?
From what I've seen from Torrey Becton, yes. But I've seen one year of Torrey Becton. So, but there are a lot of questions about strength and conditioning, endurance, all of it.
Guy's proven it. They want to go to the SEC. They want SEC lines of scrimmage. That guy knows about SEC
That's
lines of scrimmage and Bo Davis and Kyle Flood. And, I don't know. Throwing it out there.
Hey, I would throw out everything.
Okay.
And Corey Raymond, I think, was retained. He was definitely the LSU guy
that I was looking at.
And I was like, man, let's go after that. Yeah. I still got serious. I really hope Brian Kelly lands Terry Joseph.
He might right now because he's. I think he's getting turned down by his top candidates, and I don't know how that courtship is going, but I'm with you. I don't know when they probably after. You would think that LSU wants to build a staff as soon as possible, though.
Yeah.
Right? So they can start
jump on
recruiting. The staff, yeah.
You would think so.
Yeah, but Joe Brady, where does he land? I'm with you. I don't know, but right now I'm thinking LSU, back to LSU.
Miami.
I
bet you he goes to Miami.
Miami or Clemson.
He's like 30, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's young.
So he'd love living in Miami.
Oh, yeah. Man, lived in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and I guess Carolina.
Carolina's all right.
Yeah. It's not bad.
But Matt Rhule, so we'll see how much pressure he's under. Now, that would open things up.
Man, that's why you should have been trying
college
to get
jobs.
That guy back to college because I didn't know that the water was rocky there. You said it. You hinted at it.
And that's why I mentioned Matt Rhule for some of these jobs in college. I would try and sell him that, hey, man, you know what? You're going to have some stability here.
Yep.
We're going to give you time to get this done. The NFL, they're expecting stuff right now, and you're 5-7. You're 5-7 with two crappy quarterbacks.
Yep.
It's actually not that bad to be 5-7 with Sam Darnold and Cam Newton.
I can't believe he's getting pressure already, but he's a hell of a coach. That's the one you should try to pull back to college.
Yeah.
Head guys.
But Joe Brady available. That's crazy. Hey, we'll be back to tell you what's on tap. That'll include Monday Night Football.
Welcome back to RBKD. Getting ready to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. Before that, we'll let you know what's on tap for us. Happy birthday to my man John Reichel, playing songs that he likes today. He's playing songs that put him in a good mood.
I wouldn't have guessed this one.
And how about this little Phil Collins?
We needed a music sting, and you can't get much better than this song.
I saw the air drum solo. Even more respect for you. You gotta do that.
Well, if you're around someone, they hear this song, and they don't do the air drum solo.
There's an issue with them.
Yeah, you need to move on.
Something's going on.
You need to move on. Don't hang out with them that night. They're not cool.
Eclectic taste, though.
No, look, this is a fantastic song. It's amazing. Such a great song. I do. I every time I hear this song, I appreciate it even more. I do.
Yeah.
Because it really is a timeless jam.
Yeah.
It really doesn't lose the luster.
I don't overdo that song.
No,
like
you can't.
Like I do
can't.
Most music.
Right, I agree with that. I don't overdo it. Patriots and the Bills getting ready to face
windy.
Off. And this is when you made a great point about Josh Allen before when we were on the break by watching the win elements in this game.
That's essentially why they drafted him. Or that was a huge reason we heard. Because of the weather conditions,
he's
got the big arm, big hands.
Late in the year.
It can fight through the wind.
You're right.
And it's which I kind of lapped that to some degree. This is one of those nights, man. This is one of those nights. You changing your mind at all?
No.
I'm not going against the
I'm
GOAT.
I'm not going against the GOAT again.
We learned our lesson on Saturday.
Picking the GOAT rather than,
yes.
Totally
agree.
Because when I go against the GOAT and then I pick wrong, I feel like an idiot because that was obvious. He was the GOAT.
He was right in front of you.
He's right in front of you. How did you mess that up? No. I'm going with the GOAT. Yeah, spell check. And Mac Jones. Who?
Mac Jones. You think Jones will have any problems with this condition?
Yeah. Yeah. But they're going to run the ball. They want to run the ball. They want to run the rock.
Hey, Longhorn Weekly with Coach Schaefer.
Nice.
I always love listening to him talk. After the
inspirational
butt-kicking in College Station, Texas looking good. This is a fun team. So that's going to be live at the Pluckers on campus coming up here at 7. So
spicy
if you got
pepper.
Time, yeah, get on by there. Get some spicy lemon pepper and go check it out. Then we've got Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. And after that, Insincerious.
Shout out.
EGAT is out too.
Nice.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Well,
so I'll put it on Twitter if you guys want to check that out. John, awesome job.
Happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday, buddy. For John Reichel, for Rod Babers, I'm Kevin Dunn. Y'all have a great night. Enjoy some football. Peace.